Amen. Well, we were sharing this morning out of 1 John and talking about the love of God and understanding the love that He has for you and for me. I don't know with human understanding if it's possible to really comprehend how much love He has for you, how much He believes in you. Why don't we just start in 1 John, if you'll turn there with me. And hopefully we can try to tackle a few of these verses here. It's your flesh that will always fight you when it comes to God. See, in the Old Testament, no one was born again. Every man in the Old Testament, every woman, every child, even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the testimonies and what you see there, the disciples, no one was born again. The only example you have up till Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus as a child of God, a son of God. And in the Old Testament, they had a relationship with God. Not one of them was born again. But yet they had a relationship with God that was built around the natural man. When my wife and I, my beautiful wife, Christy, married me, and I was blessed. See, you tell all the young guys, say, if you pray in tongues a lot, you'll get a beautiful wife like me. And they'll, it doesn't matter if they're Baptist or not, they'll look at my wife and they'll go, Shandarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatarabasatar And we decided to get a little dog, you know. Well, a dog. She said, let's get a dog. And I said, yes. Let's get a Rottweiler, a Doberman Pinscher, something meaty that could wrestle, that can guard the house. But, you know, when you marry up like I did, you submit to some things. And so we got a little Yorkie, a little 3-pound miniature, not even a Yorkie, a miniature Yorkie. And her name was Maddie. That's what we called her. And Maddie, we didn't have kids at the time, so we would go to the ministry and talk about things Maddie did. And people would look at us and say, you need to get kids. You know. And Maddie, she was like a human. I mean, just her personality. You know, I learned from Maddie that about the natural soul, because you know, a little dog looks at you and loves you. They don't have a spirit like you have, but they have a natural soul. Chemically based body, emotions. So little Maddie, she loved us. She thought she was our daughter. I remember one day we got another dog because we were gone a lot. We felt bad for Maddie leaving her all day. So let's get her a friend. So we got another little Yorkie. I never win. Got another little Yorkie. And Maddie was confused why we got a dog. Why do we have a dog? Because she didn't think she was a dog. We tried to make him play. She wouldn't play. She'd be jealous. I'd sit on the couch, and Maddie would sit on my lap, and the other dog's name was Spencer. Spencer was a miniature Yorkie, but he had little short legs, and he couldn't jump very high. Maddie could jump like a cat. So you sit on the couch, and Maddie would jump on the couch and sit in your lap, and Spencer, he couldn't jump on the couch. He'd get to the empty part of the couch, and he would mark a landing pad. And he'd back up with his little legs, and he'd run as fast as he could and kind of throw himself up on the couch and bounce up on the couch. And we'd be sitting there, and Maddie would just see him back up, and Maddie would stand up and walk over to Spencer's landing pad and block him from jumping on the couch and turn her head the other way like she wasn't doing it on purpose. That little dog loved us. She thought she was our daughter. She loved us. We would go driving, and I'd have to wear sunglasses because Maddie would sit on Chrissy's lap, and she would look over at me nonstop. Her little eyes would just dart like this. They'd just dart. Just her eyes would keep darting, looking at me, trying to kind of see my eyes. And she was just looking for me to make eye contact with her. And before I wore sunglasses, if I looked over at the mirror and glanced down and made eye contact with that dog, in dog language, that must mean he wants me. And she would leap across the car and jump on my lap. And she put one paw on each side and started licking my face. And, you know, you imagine me doing 60 miles an hour down the highway trying to get this mop off my head, you know. And she loved us. And, you know, you hate to admit it. You know, you just hate to admit how much you love those things. You know, I've learned you could tell people that grandma's not going to go to heaven. You can tell them they are not going to go to heaven. But don't ever tell someone their dog or their cat's not going to go to heaven. That little mutt wanted to be my daughter. She thought that I was her dad. And you love them. I'd fall asleep on the couch and Maddie would sleep on my shoulder. And I'd wake up and my shoulder would be numb and I'd get ready to move. And I think, oh, don't move, Maddie's asleep. Then I remind myself, she's a dog. Come on, man up. Come on, Alan, man up. But you love them. And as much as you want to love them and say, I want you to be my daughter, Maddie, I love you. Say we couldn't have children. Say, Maddie, I love you. You be my daughter. I could try to make her into a little girl. Say, Maddie, I want to teach you ABCs. Are you ready? A. R. Come on, Maddie, you can do it. B. R. C. R. She's waiting for me to get to R's, you know. Say, all right, okay, let's try this. Maddie, little girls don't chase cats. Not up a tree. And even if you caught one, you wouldn't know what to do with it. So we just stick Maddie, say, now don't chase cats. And Maddie would sit there, and a cat would run by, and she would, her nature would say, get the cat, get the cat, get the cat, get the cat. Maddie, girls, little girls don't chase cats. She just could take it so long, and then off she'd go trying to catch the cat. I could say, now, Maddie, little girls, they don't go around sniffing other little girls' rear ends. And I couldn't train her to be my daughter. I couldn't make it possible. As much as she loved me and wanted me to be her dad, and as much as I would love that little mutt and want her to be my daughter, it was impossible. Why? Because she's a dog. Her nature was different than mine. And that's what happened with Adam. Adam, who was made in the image of God, was as perfect as God was perfect, as pure as God was perfect. Adam looked God right in the eye and fellowshiped with him and talked with him. And he didn't feel inferior. He didn't feel less than. He wasn't God, but he was the Son of God, and he was as pure and perfect as God was pure. He did not feel withdrawn from God. But then when he sinned, we know that his nature changed. Amen? Gary said he saw, when he asked God, why is it that? Well, why didn't you just forgive Adam? And God said, well, I did. But it wasn't about forgiveness, it was about redemption. God forgave Adam, but now Adam, see, Adam stood there with all the memories, had the same voice, had the same eyes, the same memories, but he died. And there was a new creature inside that was twisted and dark. His nature had turned from lightness to dark. Here, standing before God, now was no longer his son, but a different creature that never existed before. Adam had died, but there was another creature living in there. So Adam, as much as he loved God and wanted God to fellowship with him, now there was a difference. See, at that moment, Adam was as distant and different from God as Maddie, my dog, was from me. As much as God loved Adam and wanted to be his father and wanted to walk with him and talk with him and fellowship with him and share the secrets, and he couldn't because their natures were now different. Adam was now distant. He was a creature that was different from God. It was impossible for God to be his father. That's where he taught them how to be a child of God. A child of God, he said, gave the Ten Commandments. This is what a child of God does. It was impossible for them to be like that. No matter how much Adam loved God, and no matter how much God loved Adam, it was impossible for them to be father and son because their natures were different. Are you still with me? Everyone in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament is full of every miracle that we have, we pursue today, God did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they waited for the glory cloud to fall. Here, we look to God from our inside instead of outside. Do you know it's possible to pursue God like the Old Testament saints did? Do you know it's possible to walk with God like the Old Testament saints did? See, how many know when you were born again, your flesh was not? You're wondering what's wrong with it. Then you want to get rid of it. But then if you get rid of it, you go to heaven. Your flesh is the only thing keeping you walking on this earth. So when you accepted Jesus into your heart, in fact, let's go to 1 John and let's start there. Someone asked me, well, why was God so mean in the Old Testament? Well, because he was after one thing. The whole purpose of those 4,000 years was to get Jesus to this earth. And he had to keep the seed of the Savior protected. I met a racist one time who used Old Testament scripture to say why white guys shouldn't marry black girls or white girls shouldn't marry black guys. And he was racist that way. Some people are racist other ways. This was this guy. And he used the Old Testament scripture. And I said, that's talking to Israel. And that wasn't about color. It was about keeping the seed of the Savior pure till Jesus came. I said, don't you know that if you're Jewish, you're kind of brown anyway? He wasn't mean, he was protective in the Old Testament. Because there was one purpose. If I can fulfill the plan, the prophecy, to get Jesus on this earth, legally, through this family of Israelites, then the whole world can be saved. I can bring and start a new family. See. The human race was born because of Adam. Every one of us was born where you couldn't be fixed. You couldn't fix yourself. You couldn't fix human. Human cannot be fixed. You have to get born into the new family. 1 John. Where do I want to start here? We'll start in chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. So have you believed that Jesus is the Christ? Have you accepted Jesus into your heart? I used to think that meant I had a little Jesus living inside of me. You know, had a little kitchen in there and a bedroom. But it's not a little Jesus. It's the nature. The nature of Alan Taylor was put to death the day I was born again. And I was actually born again. He didn't retool the nature of Alan Taylor. He put to death the nature of of Alan Taylor and gave me a nature that came from him. Can you say amen? So when I was born again, when I confessed that Jesus was my Savior, Alan Taylor died that day. Now I know, just like Adam, I blinked. I felt a little fuzziness, but I had my same memories, same smile, same eyes, same voice. But all of a sudden, the same way Adam died, the moment he sinned, I was created. The moment I accepted Jesus into my heart. I used to make fun of people who would come up and say, "Oh, it's my birthday today. Wish me happy birthday." And I said, "Oh, it is? Oh, I didn't see it on Facebook. I'm sorry, I didn't know." I said, "Oh, no, not my natural birthday. My spiritual birthday. I was born again." And I think, "Oh, that's so cute. Yeah, nice." But now I'm realizing how correct they are. I came to life the day I was born again. I didn't exist before. God found a way of rescuing me out of Alan Taylor and giving me a new future, a new life, a new nature. But yet my flesh didn't agree. See, let me do my trick for you. Okay, I've been getting better at this and practicing. Here we go. I'm about to pull myself apart. I'm going to put my flesh man over to my right and my inner man, the better looking part of me, to my left. Are you ready? Here we go. Ta-da! Thank you. Thank you. Here's my flesh man. Okay? Here's my inward man. My inward man's a little younger, a little better looking, a little thinner. And there's my flesh. Now see, the flesh, this body, which isn't just this body, it's got a brain. It's got emotions. See this body? This is the part of me that didn't get saved. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm still attached to the flesh. One day I won't be. One day this corruptible beast will fall off of me. And I'll be given a new incorruptible body. But until that day happens, I have to deal with it. Now, this corruptible beast called my flesh, the monkey on my back, it belongs to Alan Taylor. Alan Taylor died the day I was born again. Here I am in my inward man, who I really am. This is who I am. See, this is who I am. One way that I feel the Lord showed me, and I'm preaching a little bit here, is Adam stood there. It says in Genesis that he stood there and did not know he was naked. See, Adam was built to live in two worlds at one time. The spiritual realm, in the natural realm. He could look at God and talk to God and pet the cow. He lived in both worlds at the same time, effortlessly. In fact, the way he viewed life was through his spiritual mind. His natural mind just followed. His natural body followed his inner body. He viewed things through his spiritual eyes. That's why I believe he didn't see himself naked. But as soon as he sinned, he saw that he was naked. Because his spiritual eyes were no longer what he was looking out of, but his natural eyes. You were born, every child born is born with inward man and an outward man. And I am getting somewhere, I think, so just put up with me for a few minutes. I want to express this to you today, because what I'm expressing is the foundation that has allowed me the privilege of receiving the grace and love and joy and freedom from my Heavenly Father while still dealing with an ugly flesh. Because how many people walk around like this, their head down, saying, "I am," you know, my stepdad was a went through AA. I went through Alateen, which was for teenagers with alcoholic families. And one of the things they taught you was you always say, I'm alcoholic. You know, and I understand the reasoning for that is you don't ever want to give that a voice. But truthfully, when you're born again, you don't have to say that. But see, that there is how most Christians walk around. I am. And they look at their struggles of their flesh, the weakness of their flesh. And they say, I am an eataholic. I am a gossipaholic. I am a fearaholic. I'm a meanaholic. And they identify themselves with their struggles. But see, the moment you're born again, that flesh man, that beast of a creature, is no longer you. That's your flesh. That is your flesh of the guy that you used to be. It's your job to put him to death, which means make him submit to the inward man. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Actually, we'll go to chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Say practices. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. So here you are, standing. This is your inward man. This is who got saved. Your outward body is your flesh. And for years I thought the body was just the skin. The flesh was just my skin. I remember when Harrison asked me that about the graveyard. I said, Daddy, what's that? And I said, that's a graveyard. And he said, what do they do? I said, well, that's where they put... I didn't want him to think that that's where you lay when you're dead, because you don't. You go to heaven if you're born again. I said, well, that's where they put your body. And he got, eyes got really big, and he said, oh, you mean they cut your head off? Put your body there? I said, no. No, your body is like a glove. It's like skin. It's your skin, but not you. Oh, you mean they skin you and put your body there? And that's when Chrissy tapped me on the leg and said, just... give it up. Give it up. Oh, great teacher. This flesh man. Let's talk about him for a moment. That you're wearing. It's not quiet. It has emotions, thoughts, ideas. And I want you to understand, your flesh man knows how to relate to God in the Old Testament. The same way the Old Testament saints understood God, served God, walked with God, operated with God. Your flesh man understands that. Because God is the Father of your spirit. He's not the Father of your flesh. And so every time you come to God, your flesh will give you all the reasons in relationship. Your flesh wants God to accept it. God doesn't want to accept your flesh. God doesn't want anything to do with your flesh. Your flesh is, he's not his child. Your flesh is an illegitimate child. He doesn't want anything to do with it. The real you, this inward person, this is you. This is you. He's the Father of you, not your flesh. God rescued me out of Alan Taylor. I was born a child of God. Now, you may have struggles. That was nice preaching. You may have struggles. Everyone's afraid to say amen, like, who, me? No. Where does that image, you know, you can take the prettiest girl. I mean, pretty, tall, thin, model-like girl, stick her in front of the mirror, and she'll say, "Oh, I'm so ugly." Where does that come from? The image we have of ourselves is amazing. How we look at ourselves through the image of our upbringing, the image of our mistakes, the image of our struggles. And here you are, pure, your inner man. When it says practicing righteousness, that simply means that the righteousness of your nature is who you're chasing after, not the struggles of your flesh. I think I'm getting somewhere. Just stay with me. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us. We should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. You have this light shining inside of you, this new nature. You are born of Him. Little Maddie, she can never be my child. But that's what the human race thought. The human race can walk with God, talk with God. Religion's based on that. The flesh, relating with God, serving God. And how sad it is that we as born-again believers have spent so many years trying to do the same thing. Trying to serve God with our flesh. Trying to justify in our flesh a relationship with God. Because your flesh feels safe in the presence of God. When you come into God's presence and you feel this inclination to bring an offering, I'm coming to give you something. You ever ask God for something and come up with a list of why? Well, God, I prayed. I've been faithful. I've been serving you. Here's my list of why I should receive. See, that's your flesh. That's a thought that comes from your natural brain trying to build a relationship with God of the Old Testament. Because your flesh understands God, it doesn't understand fathering. But you, your inner man, has been born of Him. You will have His nature on the inside of you. You understand. You know the voice of your Father. Because your inner man is born of Him. And this is the battle. This is the walk of the Spirit. The walk of power. This is the battle that we have chosen to face. Whatever, you know. Pastor Dave said, pray in tongues a little bit, it'll change you. So I said, okay, I'll pray in tongues a little bit. I've tried everything else. Pray in tongues. What's wrong? Everything's going haywire. I'd have beat Pastor Dave up. I could have been a good faith preacher. Living without a conscience. As you pray in tongues, it starts to get real. Shallowness disappears. They're no longer satisfying. That's why your flesh will try to get you out of praying in tongues and justify why we don't need to pray. Your inward man knows the voice of your Father. See, all religion is built by the thoughts of your flesh man trying to relate to God. A child, who you are, a child of God, wants to only be satisfied by Him. Much of the gifts that we watch in the last 200 years or 100 years of ministry of power, and we've seen the same thing in the Old Testament. man walking without a nature of God inside of them, walking in power, prophesying, miracles, signs and wonders, raising the dead. And many have pursued the same course of action to find revival through the operations of the gifts. But there's a much better way. It's called relationship. It's called intimacy. Or, as Pastor Dave calls it, love. Love is not just a feeling. It's the love of God doesn't grow. How can the love of God grow? But the love of God in you, you can grow to it. So my flesh wants things and thinks things and will fight me to do what it wants. Your flesh will never, ever, listen to me, your flesh will never feel safe in the presence of the Father. Ever, as a preacher, I can get up here. And when the presence of God falls, you watch people go to the bathroom. They have to go get on the phone. You can watch them actually disconnect from intimacy. Probably a better way to say it is when the praise and worship team is up here. You can watch people disconnect from intimacy. Well, I'm preaching good now. You can see. I remember when the first day I told God I loved him. I've served him, been faithful to him for years. But when I actually said I love you, there was a intimacy, a vulnerability, a connection that made me so vulnerable it scared me. I remember when me and my wife got married. You know, the next morning I woke up and the reality of she said yes. It's like this flood of vulnerability just went, whoo. I let this girl in, and now I have to take care of her. my God, I'm growing up. But this vulnerability of intimacy with God. See, your inward man, look at me, your inward man, the real you. See, pause, look at me. Here's your inner man. This is the real you. Problem is, most believers spend their life looking out of their natural eyes and feeling the inner man. Like, I can feel peace. I can feel love. I can feel this. You know, when you hear people say, well, my intellect said, do this, but I felt peace to do that. And most Christians spend their life relating to God as a feeling. But the truth is, the real you is over here. You are the feeling. The other stuff is junk. And that lying flesh is only comfortable in God if you look to him as God of the Old Testament. And it can thrive in that relationship. It's safe in that relationship. And it will badger you and badger you and badger you. When you try to drag that flesh into intimacy, it will fight you because it says, that's not real. He won't accept us. He doesn't love us. We have to give him something. We have to offer him something. We have to offer him holiness. God couldn't wait for you to get to heaven. One day, when I get to heaven, I'm trying to sing. I don't know how to sing that song. 10,000 years, by and by, I'll get to the pearly gates, and then I'll be safe and love God, and we'll spend eternity fellowshipping with God. No, he wants it right now. He wants it so bad that he made a way through the blood of Jesus for you while you're struggling with your flesh to run boldly into his presence without fear, that he made a way, because now that you're born of him, for you to walk and talk with God the same way that Adam did, without fear, without intimidation, without feeling inferior. And everything in you that fights you is your flesh. It's a lie. So when you start to worship God, and you know, if you try to go into private worship where you turn off the music, say, I love you, I worship you, it can feel, after a while, dry. Well, this ain't working. I don't feel anything. But you know, it's not dry. You're just ignoring the voice of your flesh who says, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's not hearing us. We have to give him something. We have to offer him something before he receives us. And when you worship him, and you start to get intimate with him, which means intimate isn't how much time, how loud you are, or how many times you say something. Intimacy is when you come to a place where you yield over your life and your heart to him. It's not just, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. I remember when I first tried to worship, I thought it was like tongues. So I worship you, I worship you. In fact, we'd get loud. I worship you! I worship you! We would get loud, and we thought that's how it was. Worship brings you to intimacy. And there's times, yes, when your flesh is putting his fingers in your ears so you can't hear God, you can't feel God, but he's there. That's when you ignore your emotions and trust the word that says, if I confess Jesus as my Savior, God is my Father. But I struggle. Yeah, that's your flesh, not you. You struggle with your flesh. It is your struggle, but it's not you. Well, if I just let my flesh go, well, your flesh is your responsibility. Let me keep reading here. I know what he wants. He wants for you and for I to get honest with our worship. To get honest with intimacy. And I'm not necessarily talking about during the service, praise and worship, although that is, I think, part of it. To be free to be in his presence and ignore the screaming of your flesh while you're in there. And the way I'm feeling it right now is that it's like it's so important for me. I'll preach to me. It's so important for me to get into that presence even when all the feelings of condemnation and failure and unworthiness is screaming at me. He's placing an importance of that intimacy time that I get in there. And that's what he's sharing with us today. Behold what manner, verse 1, chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. You are taking the righteousness of your inward man and making your flesh submit to it. There'll be a day that flesh is gone and you won't have to worry about it. There'll be a day that you won't fight to go into his presence. You ever say, I'm going to get up early and pray? And then you wonder why you're fighting? Why am I fighting that? I want to watch a football game. No problem. I can get to a football game early. I can go, maybe you're a fisherman. You can get fishing early. If you're a shopper, you can get shopping on time. Whatever you like to do, there's no fight. But why is it when I decide I'm going to spend time praying, there's such a struggle with your flesh? A struggle. You know, when you're hitting the snooze button, I'm a professional snoozer. I can lay in bed and I can hear my electric clock switch. And right when it goes, my hand has given me 9 more minutes of rest. It's like, boom. My wife is an amateur. She will be sleeping and her alarm clock will be going, and after like 5 minutes, she'll awake from her coma and say, is there a noise in here? Is there? And in those 9 minutes of my professional snoozing, I'll have this discussion. Get up. It's time to pray. Prayer is good. Prayer will help you to become who you're supposed to be. Prayer will help you overcome your flesh. You said you're going to get up to pray. And then I hear this other voice. You need rest. You've got children. You've been working hard. You just 9 more minutes. Just 9 more minutes. Just a little more rest. And then you'll pray. And then I'll hit 9 more minutes. And then I'll hear, we'll start tomorrow. And it's so funny to me how when I make a decision to do something, I feel this joy of excitement that, yes, that's it. Yeah, I'm going to make it. And then when I get to there, I have this discussion. We'll start tomorrow. That's the most dangerous words in the prayer center vocabulary. Tomorrow. We need to write a song. Tomorrow. Maybe I'll start tomorrow. I just need another day to start. One more day. Well, who am I having that discussion with when I'm arguing with myself? Who am I discussing this with? I decided I want to get up early and pray. Why am I discussing this? I can tell you who you're discussing it with. Your flesh man. Your flesh man sees no value in praying in tongues. Because praying in tongues doesn't help the natural mind. It bypasses the natural brain. All right. Well, let's see if we can tackle this a little bit. Whoever, verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. The purifying of ourselves means I am taking the love and righteousness and holiness and desires, because my natural body does not love God as a Father. It loves God for what he can do for me. You want proof? How many would like a 100-fold return? Let me have a prayer bucket and let's see how many of you, who would like to have a new house that God would just pay off your house for you? Or how about a new car that just a new car will show up? You need to plant seed and put it into the bucket. Yeah, some of you have been waiting for your 100-fold return for a while. That is a message to the flesh, to the natural mind of how to work in the things of God. But for a child, you're free to receive from him because of who you are, not because of what you do. Now, it goes on to tell you there's proof that you're growing, that you love each other, and you have holiness. I can't be walking around in all these other areas of the flesh, letting it run rampant and say, oh, I love God. But if I'm struggling with it, if I'm struggling with my flesh, and I refuse to accept it, is who I am. It doesn't matter how dark of a secret you're fighting with. As long as you don't accept it as who you are, you are his child and you're free by the blood of Jesus to have as much of him, as much of his love right now, today, even while you're struggling with whatever it is. I really want to go into verse 4, but I'm not. I want us to go over to Chapter 4. We will tackle verse 4, but not today. We'll start in verse 12 of chapter 4. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. See, the love can grow in you. His love is perfect, but the love can grow. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Is that you? Have you confessed that Jesus is your Lord? And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. Now, when I talk about the Father, sometimes people ask me, so I haven't had a good example as a father. And so I can't relate to God as a father. But see, that's not true. That's your flesh making an excuse. Because none of us have had an example of how good of a father our God is. You have a father if you get to know him. He will tell you and show you how good he is. That's the basis of the relationship he wants with you, where you will let him show you how much. He'll prove to you he loves you. He's not afraid of your fears. He's not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid if you get mad at him, cuss him out. He's not afraid of you. He loves you. I say that because I've heard people say, I don't know if he loves me. I cussed him out one time. He's not touchy. He loves you. And he, listen, you will never experience how much he loves you until you get past the voice of your flesh and make yourself get into his presence and make yourself run into his arms. You will find out he doesn't resist you. He embraces you. That intimacy. Your flesh will try to twist your relationship with God and try to turn it into an offering of time, a gift of something. God, look what I gave to you. I gave you hours of worship. He's not after your hours. He's after you. It may take you hours to get your brain to shut up. But there's not one second of those hours that is wasted. Because even though your outward man is plugging your inward man's ears, he's not here. He's not talking to you. He's still talking to you. Even though you can't feel him, he's still intimately touching you. Intimacy is being built. There's nothing more manly, husbandly, more fatherly to walk into a crowd of people and your wife and your children run to you. Did you hear that? Walk into my kids' school, hundreds of kids running around beating each other up. And my son runs to me, not to the other guy. This other guy doesn't matter. I don't care how much money he has. I don't care if his car is nicer than mine. I don't care if he's better looking, thinner. I don't care, this other dad. My boy runs to me. Do you understand? Intimacy comes, with it comes safety and security and strength. And when you're feeling lonely, where do you go? You should go to him. When you're feeling like you failed, where do you go? You go to him. When my kids in a crowd fall and stumble and hurt something, they don't run to a stranger. They run to mom and dad because that's where their intimacy is built. There are parents today, and this is just not to knock anyone, but they didn't pour into their kids when they were young, and now when they're old, there's not a connection. And they want that connection, but they lost it when they were young. Intimacy has to be built. And you will, when you step in, I've heard people say this over and over again. I fasted, I prayed, I worshiped, and I hit this place where I felt so crazy. What do I do? Keep going. Because your flesh is trying to stop you. Your flesh doesn't understand intimacy. I think we call that a stronghold. Your flesh does not want you to build a relationship with God built on intimacy, only on works. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Imagine being in a family where you have to earn approval. And here's what I want us to get today. Every one of us could tell stories. Every one of us have histories which paint a picture of a relationship with a father. And what I want us to understand today is, who cares? Get past it. Don't build on that. He's not trying to get you to build on your earthly fathers. Remember the story where your inward man takes the little... I went into God's presence with a little four-year-old boy. And I went into God's presence. It was... What's today? Today is Sunday. On Friday... Friday is 40 years since my dad passed away. I was 4 years old. So I take little four-year-old Alan into God's presence. And I say, I'm here, God, to worship you. He goes, oh, my son, I love you. I do a thing called the kissing machine with my kids. I pin them down. And they get kissed slobber all over them. Ava likes it. Harrison, I have to pin him down. He likes it, though. I come in, I'm all slobbery from God kissing me. And he said, who's that? And his voice and his eyes change when he looks over at this little four-year-old boy that I brought into his presence. He looks, and it's a stern look. And here he just kissed all over me and loved me, and he gives me a stern look, and looks at that boy and said, who's that? I said, oh, this is four-year-old Alan. This is the four-year-old boy that got hurt because when my natural dad passed away and all the damage and hurt that went into his little emotions and all that, it's been stopping me from receiving from God, from you. And so I need you to heal him so that I can be good with you. Does that make sense? And God looks at me and says, oh, I can fix that. And he hands me a knife. He says, now, take this knife and I want you to kill him. What? No. I brought him in to be healed. Because the damage that happened to me when I was four was in my flesh, man. See, every wound you have, every emotional damage, every desire for sin is no longer in your spirit. It comes from the man of the flesh. But God, can't you just heal this little boy? Heal him. No, I'm not his father. I'm not the father of your flesh. I'm your father. And it's my job. Okay, God, I'll close my eyes. And you kill him. God says, no. That's your flesh. That's your natural soul. That's your job. But having him here makes me justified for all my problems. I got into an argument when I was 11 years old with a neighbor. and his family over something. And all I don't remember what it was, but all I remember was yelling back at about 11 years old at my neighbor and his family, "Well, did your dad pass away like mine?" And I walked away with fake tears because my emotions went there to justify what I did. You know how much we do that today? You know how much of our faith and our relationship with God is built around this? Well, what if I don't want to kill him? Pray in tongues until you do. Fast until you do. Worship, even when you don't feel worthy. Worship and know that intimacy is available to you today. See, this 1 John is talking about, tell your flesh to shut up, quit giving in to your flesh, and go worship him today. Go fellowship with him today. Go walk in holiness today. Start it now. No excuse for tomorrow. No more tomorrows. Let's start today. Start right now. Your flesh will scream and yell and fight and argue with you and give you 1,000 good, legitimate reasons why. Why we can't do that. And they're good reasons. But God doesn't care about good reasons. He only cares about you. You can go into his presence and fellowship with him and be intimate with him. Well, even if you don't feel it, get in there. Get yourself in there. When the worship is here and the presence comes, that's here to help us, to lift us. Get past our emotions and worship. Get in there. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You don't do things to get God to love you. You do it because he loves you. You understand, there's no fear. Fear involves torment. What kind of relationship are we having when we're sheepishly going into his presence? Trying to bring him something. There's a torment of the flesh. How do I word that? Perfect love casts out all fear. When your father, when you become intimate with your father, you'll first stop being afraid of him. And then you'll stop being afraid of anything else, because everything you have is in him. He's my provider. He's my healer. He is everything to me. Therefore, I have no fear. I don't need you. I don't need the devil's permission. I don't need the world's permission. I don't need my family's permission. I have him. He's everything to me. And there is an intimacy of relationship where he'll have you walk with him, and he'll pull you away from all your other securities. And see, you wake up one day and you realize, wait just a minute. If I fail at this, I'm going to go down horribly bad, because I have nothing else but you. Have you been there yet? And right when you think you want to put on the brakes, he says, come on. See, he's jealous. He wants to be everything to you. He wants you to only trust. No. He wants you to live in that place where he is all you have. That you can't go back. I've already burned all those bridges. I got nowhere else to go. My provision's been locked up. My love's been blocked up. I just have you, God. And he likes it like that. That's called intimacy. Thank you. Your flesh man, the natural soul, will try to have 300 anchors of security security blankets, plan Bs and plan Cs and plan Ds. And one by one, you watch them get snipped until all of a sudden you're in this place of complete vulnerability. God, without you, I have nothing. Without you, I'm not going to make it. That's called intimacy. A lot of ministries, a lot of people, a lot of callings live their life out of keeping their soulish man happy. The man of their flesh, keeping them happy. Building their life, building their ministries, building their calling, building their families. Do you know you can trust Him with everything? He won't reject you. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. There's never been a more faithful Father than Him. There's never been a more loving, gentle Father than Him. But what about my struggles? They're just struggles. As long as you look at them as struggles. Why don't you stand with me? Here's what I want us to do. Just close your eyes with me for a moment. And now when you lift up your hands to worship Him, we're just going to take a few moments. What I want us to do, with their eyes closed, is to see yourself lifting your hands as your inward man that's pure and righteous. See, God is a spirit, and you are a spirit. And as we worship Him here in a moment, that's where you worship Him from. That's why He's able to look past your flesh and be intimate with you now. Right now. So just say this with me. Say, Father, thank you for loving me so much. I thank you that I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I'm free right now to be as close and intimate with you as if I was absolutely perfect. Because right now, I am perfect. I'm your child. So as I worship you as my Father. And I love you. And you love me. You love me. Thank you for loving me. You are a faithful provider. I trust in you. With my whole heart, my whole life. I'm in you. You're in me. I'm yours. And you're mine. Just lead us in a song. And just take, we won't take long, but just as we worship, don't leave that place. No matter what your flesh will give you reasons of busyness, you don't need to go right now. You got another 5 minutes. You don't need to disconnect. Stay in that intimate place for a few moments. Don't be afraid of Him. He loves you. sing to Him today. Just keep singing that. Don't stop. I love you. I love you. Don't be afraid of Him. We're building intimacy. Look at Jesus. I love you. Don't stop. Keep singing that. Just like that. I love you. Now, don't sing, just everyone stay quiet. Keep singing, Lord, but sing, I love you. I love you too. You, no one sing. Laura's going to sing. To God's going to sing to you for a second. Just listen for a moment. Sing, I love you. I love you too. Let Him sing to you. Let Him love on you. I love you. I love you too. One more time. Let Him sing to you. Receive from Him. I love you. I love you too. Oh, we're going to sing that again. Whatever is telling you not to receive it, just tell it to shut up and let Him love you today. I love you. I love you too. I love you. I love you too. Now let's sing to Him. I love you, Lord. I love you. Come on, you can sing to Him. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, Lord. Let's sing. There's no one else. For there's no one else worthy of worship. Just for a few more moments, don't stop. I love you. Let's sing it to Him again. I love you. There's nothing between you and Him. Love. Perfect communion right now. Sing it. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. I love you.
I love you.
I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, Lord. Sing it again. I love you.
I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you.
I love you, Lord.
Now let's let him sing to us and receive it. Just receive it now. Thank you, Father. Father. Jesus made a way for his Father to become your Father. Because of the blood of Jesus, not one thing stands between you and him. You can have all the love you want. He's a faithful provider. He's a healer. Father, you're everything to us. We receive from you now your love for us. Let's just sing to him one more time. Us to him now. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you. Shotaraki. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, Lord. Shandarai. Love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord. Now, just with their hands lifted up, just play quietly. Thank you, Father. Just take a moment and receive from him yourself. What is it? What's bothering you? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What's weighing on you? Is it your finances? Is it your family? This is a time that you share with him. He does not ignore you. He hears you. Thank you, Father, for your grace, for your love. Thank you, Father. He's going to start speaking to many of you about your future. For many of you, Sotara Bashataraye. Many have given up hope on their future. I just heard him say that to my spirit. I'm going to whisper future things to them now. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much. I'm free to worship you. I'm free to receive intimacy and love from you, because I'm your son. I'm your child, and you love me. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much. Our future's in your hands. What great, wonderful things you have in store for each one here. Great exploits of victory, of overcoming challenges. Great testimonies of overcoming failures. What incredible stories are going to be told of the depth of love we'll share with you. You're my Father, and I love you. And you love me. Thank you, Father. You're all that I need. You're all that I have. I'm lost without you. But I'm safe with you. Thank you, Father. Say this with me. Say, I refuse to accept my past, my flesh, my failings, and my accomplishments as who I am. I'm free to be in the presence of my Father every day of my life. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. That I'm free to run into your presence. I will not slow down from your love. Never. Because I love you. And you love me. There's never in the history of the world been someone as loved as you loved me. I am loved. No one's been loved more than I'm loved. And I receive that love as your child.